Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The book of Revelation tells us that the nations of the world won't be conquered by military might, but by a catastrophic global financial meltdown. The cost of being rescued will be to take the mark of the beast. Such a result doesn't come about overnight and requires much planning. Pastor John shares insights from a secretive document that is more than 100 years old and lays out detailed plans of the Antichrist's rise to power. This diabolical text discusses creating a global financial crisis, promoting greed and stock market speculation, using the environment to tie up economic development, destroying personal initiative, ruining the industrial base, flooding the world with pornography, using anti-Semitism to corral Jewish people into submission to their leaders, rewriting history, deceiving the working class, and controlling the media. That may sound inconceivable, but history has shown that someone is indeed following the satanic-inspired game plan. The roar of a world financial crisis is getting louder, and we are just around the corner from the birth of the Antichrist regime and the beginning of the tribulation period. This message is entitled, The Mark of the Beast. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on October 9th, 2011. And I'm glad that you are here today, either as a cyber member or you are here in person. And the message that I'm going to preach today is a message that I hoped that I would never had to preach. I had planned to be in heaven singing in the choir when these events are going to take place. But I'm sorry to say that apparently I'm going to be part of these events, at least be here. So let's stand and let's pray and we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. We can gather here in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just praise you right now for your Holy Spirit, that Father God, through your Holy Spirit, you would take control, and that you will bring forth this message that you laid upon my heart to bring forth. And I thank you, and I praise you for that now. And help people to absorb it, understand it, and accept it, and react to it, Father God, in such a way that we should be victorious. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I received this message Sunday last week. And I began to think about it Monday. And this week has been what I would call a very interesting week. We've had all kind of breakdowns, all kind of problems. And I would simply say this has been a little week that the devil prepared, what I would call a hell week that he prepared for many of us in this church. And the reason is that, of course, the demonic world, I knew what we were going to be talking about here today, they didn't want it to happen. But it is going to happen because greater is he that is in me and you than he that is in the world. I usually don't like to predict, and I will never predict the second coming of Christ. And I've been very careful in talking about where we are on a time scale. But I've been receiving probably about 7 to 8 different financial letters, information coming out on a daily basis. Most of them I delete because I don't have any money to invest, so I'm not interested in them. But I noticed that all of them suddenly, late last week, and particularly this week, have been simply saying, we are heading in for a financial meltdown. And as I looked upon it, thought about it, I realized that we are going to have some problems. I want to read to you here. This is a report that came out October 6th, which is just last Thursday. And this is a statement from Bank of England. Now, you know that Bank of England is ruled by the Rothschild family. And this is what the governor said, that the world is facing the worst economic crisis ever. And I've read this little report. The world is possibly facing the worst economic crisis in history, the governor of the Bank of England said Thursday. Sir Mervyn King was speaking at the decision by the bank's Monetary Policy Committee to put 75 billion of newly created pounds into the economy in a desperate effort to stave off a new credit crisis and a UK recession, the Daily Telegraph reported. 75 billion new pounds they have been printing. Those prices have been running day and night. And then he said this. This is the most serious financial crisis we've seen at least since the 1930s, if not ever. We have to deal with the unusual circumstances, but to act calmly to this and to do the right thing. The world economy has slowed, America has slowed, China has slowed, and of course, particularly the European economy has slowed, he said. The world has changed, and so has the right policy response. That was a hidden message. Let me read that last statement. The world has changed, and so has the right policy response. In other words, they got something up their sleeves. Money is a commodity. I'm just going to take a few seconds here and explain money to you. Money in itself, if it is gold or silver, or if it is paper money, fiat money, has no value in itself. It is a form of a commodity that if I am a farmer and I want to sell milk. Now, if I sell milk and they pay me in tires and I get 500 tires for cars, I will have a difficulty time now to, I have 500 tires and now I need to buy some feed. And I'm not trying to bargain my 500 tires. And the guy says, I don't need 500 tires. I don't need tires at all. So Satan invented, not God, money, which is a commodity that simply I have an item. Let's say I have an item here that says I'm going to produce 1,000 of these items. And these items are going to be worth 100 gallons of milk. Or you can buy tires with them, whatever it is. So now we produce these and we circulate these. So instead, when I sell my milk, get tires, I get these gadgets, I get 50 of these. I can now use those 50 and I can buy something I need. And there is money. If somebody now manipulates the money supplies and they simply say, now it is not enough that we have money, but I want you now to buy milk on credit. So I'm simply saying this, you know, I'm going to sell you milk now. It's going to be on credit. You're going to borrow money. You're going to pay interest and you pay me later. As we have progressed, now we have become slaves to our lending masters. In the world, we still have the same amount of food, commodities. Everything is the same. It's the money transaction media, debt commodity that is now being threatened. If you look in the outline there, I said this, the world government minutes from 1897. And during a series of secret meetings in Switzerland, from August the 29th to the 31st, 1897, the future agenda was laid out by a covert group. Now, the plans were allowed to be stolen and translated to the Russian language, and by 1905, it had been translated to English, and the cup was placed in the British Museum in London, England. Now, I have a copy of a letter from British Museum. And in that letter, which I got from a friend, it simply states this, that in 1905, a copy of this document was placed in the British Museum in London, England. So we know the document now is 106 years old from that point. Let me talk to you now about the village syndrome. You know, and I know this, that if you have a secret, and let's say you share the secret with a friend, there may be another friend, by accident or simply carelessness, they are going to squeal the secret that comes out. You know that no government can keep a secret. It always leaks out. So they decided this is a very safe method. Tell the village idiot. You have simply have a secret, and you go down to the village idiot and say, you know, Mr. Idiot, I want to tell you something. This is a secret. Shh, don't tell anyone. And the village idiot, he simply says, wow. And he goes out and says, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? And he tells the true story. And people says, oh, that's just the village idiot. Just don't even listen to it. It's just garbage. You know who the village idiot is? Hollywood. Everything that the world government has planned to do, they made a movie. Movies have been made for years and years. And everybody goes and watches them and says, oh, that's just Hollywood. The village idiot has spoken. They knew that this document would leak. So they simply said this, we're going to allow it to be released, copied, we give it to the village idiot, which at that time was the Russian secret police, the Ukraine. And they in turn handed it over to some other people. It was translated. And then in 1934, two German gentlemen went up to Bern, Switzerland, and started handing out this document. There was an arrest, taken to court, and some Jewish people sued these men. And in this court, on May 19, 1935, the court ruled that the documents were forgery. They had been copied for the material and were labeled obscene literature. This ruling has been cited by the world government for 76 years. And even if it was held in a lower court without much investigation, the stories like this, you repeat the lie long enough, hard enough, and eventually, people say that is the truth. What I'm going to do now is this, that I'm going to read very briefly to you excerpts. And we're going to look upon, are they true or are they false? These are not necessarily in order in a document, as I glean this out. And by the way, I did not go on the internet to take down this document. I don't trust things on the internet per se, always. I had this document given to me about 30 years ago, and I have it in two different versions. The first thing they said in 1897 was this, that in order to take control, we are going to create a global financial crisis. Let's read. Hatred will be still further magnified by the effects of an economic crisis, which will stop dealing on the exchanges at the stock markets and bring industry to a standstill. We should create by all the secret subterranean methods open to us and with the aid of gold, which is all in our hands, a universal economic crisis whereby we shall throw upon the streets whole mobs of workers simultaneously in all countries of Europe. These mobs will rush delightedly to shed the blood of those whom, in the simplicity of their ignorance, they have envied from their cradles, and whose property they will then be able to loot. This English now is from 1905, so it's an older version of English. But let me ask you a question now. Have you watched the riots in Greece? Very bloody. Have you watched the demonstrations in Italy? Have you watched them in Spain? Remember London a few months ago? And let me ask you this question now. A week and a half ago, suddenly we had a Wall Street protest. And it was not a whole lot noticed. And then suddenly the media began to pick it up. And now we have a protest in Sacramento. We got Los Angeles. We got it all over. And you ask yourself this question now. Where did these people come from? I watched an interview yesterday that the local television station did. And they interviewed this young man, probably about 20, 21 years old. And this is what he said. He says, now we are financed. We are getting money. There's food being brought in. He was lamenting that the city government of Sacramento had not agreed with their protest. He said, every other city council has made a resolution supporting us. If you go to New York, they set up kitchens. They have internet cafes. They have all kind of things on the streets, and food is being brought in. Who is paying for this? Now, we try to have a rally for Christ. We try to win people for Christ. We try to do this or that. It's hard to gather a group. Why? And how are these people coming from? Well, let's read on. Greed and the stock market. That's what the people are talking about. In order to give the people no time to think and take note, their minds must be diverted to with industry and trade. Thus all the nation will be swallowed up in the pursuit of gain, and a race of it will not take note of the common foe. But again, in order that freedom may once disintegrate and ruin the communities of the people, we must put industry on speculative basis. Let me try to explain that to you. But 150 years ago, most factories did not have stocks. They had some family stocks, but most factories in Europe and here simply financed themselves, and they simply took their profit and plowed it back in, and they were on solid footing. How many of you heard about the company IKEA? You heard about IKEA? Let me tell you a secret about IKEA. IKEA is owned by Ingvar Kamprad. He's a Swede. And IKEA stands for Ingvar Kamprad's own corporation. He is not in the stock market. There are no public stocks. It's a private held company operating in many different nations. About a month ago, they started to attack IKEA. In Sweden, they started to attack this man, and it simply dug up that when he was a teenager, that he had been a friend of a man that was a Swedish Nazi sympathizer. And they simply said, because he did this when he was young, he is anti-Semitic, and they start beginning to take him down. In the last 2-3 months, IKEA has been bombed in Poland, Germany, France, and other places, where simply bombs have gone off inside the stores, done very much damage. You haven't read about that in the United States press because, of course, it's something that you shouldn't know. And the question is now, why are they taking down IKEA? It's a global company, very profitable, but it's not on any speculative basis, which means the bankers cannot get their fingers in there. And you know, when a bankers cannot get their fingers in something, they get angry. And they say, if we can't have it, then no one else can have it either. Greed and stock markets. Let's talk about the environmental situation right now. The art of directing masses and individuals by means of cleverly manipulated theory and verbiage, by regulations of life in common, and of all sorts of other quirks, in all which the people understand nothing, belongs likewise to the specialist of our administrative brain. Now you know the environmentalists, why they're so smart. Reared on analysis, observation, deliciousness of fine calculation, in these species of skill we have no rivals, any more than we have either in the drawing up of plans of political actions and solidarity. Now, let's bring up Al Gore, the inventor of the internet. Al Gore is pushing global warming. Do you know that global warming is a hoax? It doesn't exist. This planet has gone from cooling to warming to cooling to warming. Actually, we had a colder winter last year than any other time. I don't know where Al went, but, you know, he probably went out and got some more clothing. But the global warming is used to stupefy people. Now, talk about federal land. Do you realize that if you want to go out on federal land, you have to have permits in certain areas? Most of the public land is closed down in America. Did you know that? And you can't get in there. And this public land. Now, I didn't believe this, but we went up in a, when they were camping this week, went up and spent the day. And I want you to hear this story. And there was a man that worked for the federal government. And he had a truck, he had a GPS, and his job was to go into logging areas and then to climb up into trees to find spotted owl nests. And if he found a nest, he would then calculate that they could not cut any trees 5,000 feet radius from this little nest. Now, we're talking about, you know, the budget is just, you know, over the head in the United States. But can you imagine now that we have probably thousands of people, and their job is every day to drive around in federal forest and private forest to find if we have any spotted owls, and if we do, we cannot log. We really need to protect the spotted owl. Now, a few weeks ago, there was another threat. Now, there's another owl that is coming in from the east, and that owl is not eating the rodents that the spotted owl is eating. So now they are thinking, how are they going to kill this species of owl to keep this species alive? I tell you what, they are clever. Let's talk about vernal pools. Now, how many of you like frogs? Yeah, we really don't care for them. Now, in California and other places, in the meadows and in the fields, they are what they call vernal pools. And when it rains, they fill up, and here come little froggies. And we have very special frogs that are very, very, that's rare. So the environmentalists said to this, we gotta protect this frog. So Mr. Farmer, you cannot plow in this area because that will kill the frog. And you know, we gotta keep that species alive. Let's talk, I think it's a smelt fish. Little fish, tiny fish, lives in the delta here. You can't eat it. Be no good. And now the environmentalist says, you know, we got to protect that fish. And to protect that fish, we need water. So we're going to take it from the farmers. But we have a famine in the world. Oh, no, 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 no. We got to protect this fish. So the water diverted. And if you go down in the San Joaquin Valley, you will find thousands of acres dry as bones because the environmentalist said, you got to protect that little fish. Can't drill oil in Alaska anymore. Got to protect the land. At the same time, no one is allowed to go on that land. But we had to protect it. Did you know that in Stockholm, and other cities in Europe, if you want to drive in from the country, let's say you want to go to Stockholm, which is the capital of Sweden, and you will go in on Friday night or Saturday night and go in and have go to a restaurant to eat or do something, do you know that you have to pay a hefty fee to drive your car in? Because they don't want you to drive car in. They simply take the bus, take the train, but don't drive your car. If you drive your car, we're going to charge you. How would you like if you want to go downtown Sacramento and eat dinner, and you'd be stopped in Carmichael and said, where are you going? I'm going to Sacramento. That would be $25. Would you say, oh, I'm so glad to pay $25 to go down to Sacramento. Where's the money going to be used for? Well, you know, the government needs money. Isn't it amazing that this is what they wrote down more than 110 years ago? Let's look about destroy personal initiative. The secret requisite for the success of our government is comprised of the following. To multiply to such an extent national failings, habits, passions, conditions of civil life, that it would be impossible for anyone to know where he is in the resulting chaos. So that the people, in consequence, will fail to understand one another. This measure will also serve as another way, namely, to sow discord in all parties, to dislocate all collective forces which are still unwilling to submit to us, and to discourage any kind of personal initiative which might in any degree hinder our affair. There is nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the communities that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence. Now, in our education today in America, I know this particularly in Sweden, they talk about teamwork, group thinking, teamwork, solving it together. Now, Sweden is probably one of the dumbest countries in the world right now, or have been for some time. And I remember when I was going to high school that we had grades. You know, you got an A, B, C, or D, and so on. My brother was 5 years behind me in time, and they took that out, and they simply said, we don't need any grades because we don't want to have any really intelligent people. We don't want to have any dumb people. We're just simply going to mix them up. We want to have an average population on the same level, so we want to dumb people down. How many people in America did we simply get out of high school that can't even read or write the last 20 years? Have you talked to people on the street? You know, they go, hey, man, what's going on today? Yeah, I had some beer. Oh, man, I'm going to go and maybe do this or that. That's how they talk. And if there's a problem, they say, I don't know, man, how to solve that. You know, man, it's beyond my capacity, you know. That's how the world has come. Isn't it amazing that this was written down in 1898? Ruined the industrial base. At the same time, we must intensely patronize trade industry, but first and foremost speculation, the part played by which is to provide a counterpower to industry. The absence of speculative industry will multiply capital in private hands and would serve to restore agriculture by freeing the land from indebtedness to the land banks. That's why IKEA is attacked. They're not in the game. To complete the ruin of the industry of the people, we shall bring to assistance of speculation the luxury which you have developed among the people, that greedy demand for luxury which is swallowing up everything. Do we have greed in this country? Do we have greed in Europe? You better believe it. We shall raise the rate of wages, which, however, will not bring any advantage to the workers. For at the same time, we shall produce a rise in prices of the first necessities of life, which is food, alleging that it arises from the decline of agriculture and cattle breeding. Have you noticed that? Food prices always go up. But wages do not go up as fast. We shall further undermine artfully and deeply sources of production by accustoming the workers to anarchy and to drunkenness, and side by side therewith taking all measures to extirpate or destroy from the face of the earth all educated forces of the people. Look at our public schools. We're not producing a crop of people that are brilliant. We're producing a bunch of young people that are stupid. And if you think about the drug problem, do you realize that in the industry they're losing lots of man hours because people are on drugs? Now I'm talking to our people here in our church. For example, Thomas, he's employing people. And, you know, it is hard to find somebody not on drugs today that can put in an 8-hour work without, you know, being bombed out. You mean not bombed out? Isn't it amazing? This is what we got. Think about this. In the 1950s, we had some drug problem, but very limited. Today, it's an epidemic. Economic conquest. We shall surround our government with a whole world of economists. Have you noticed that? That is the reason why economic science formed the principal subject of the teaching given to the Jews. Around us again will be a whole constellation of bankers, industrialists, capitalists, the main thing, millionaires, because in substance, everything will be settled by quest of figures. That's doublespeak. The simple saying this, we're not going to do this by military might. We're going to do this by financial means. Is that happening today? You decide. Introduction of pornography. In countries known as progressive and enlightened, that's us, right? We have created a senseless, filthy, abominable literature. For some time after it enters the power, we shall continue to encourage its existence in order to provide a telling relief by contrast to the speeches, party program, which will be distributed from exalted quarters of ours. Our wise men, trained to become leaders of the people, will compose speeches, projects, memoirs, articles, which will be used by us to influence the minds of people, directing them towards such understanding and forms of knowledge as have been determined by us. Here's what I wrote. When this was written in 1897, the art of photography had been around for about 20 years, but the motion picture industry had not yet been developed. Only 20 years later, the exalted quarters had become known as Hollywood. Later, Northridge, a city just north of Hollywood, became the center of the pornographic industry in the United States. If you go to Russia, you go to Europe, you go to India, United States, Canada, South America, any place in this world, Australia, pornography is a scourge. You go to the supermarket, and when you stand at the checkout stand, you can't help but to see the smut right there. Magazine after magazine. Now, if you check out, who are the owners of these magazines? There's only one group of people that own magazines today, and they are Jewish. All of them. If you go to Hollywood and you check out the directors, you check out the leaders of the different corporations, you find almost no Gentiles down there. They simply said, this is what we're going to do in 1898. Did they do it? You judge. Creating economic crises. Economic crises have been produced by us for the people by no other means than withdrawing our money from circulation. In my fourth book, the Kabbalah book, I am showing you that from 1828 up to 1907, the American economy, they took out money on and on and on again, and we had a disaster which you never read in your public schools. The same thing true for today. Huge capitals have stagnated, withdrawn money from states, which were constantly obliged to apply those same stagnant capital for loans. These loans burdened the financial estate with a payment of interest and made them bond slaves of these capitals. What's the biggest problem right now in America? We got a national debt that is out of control. Who did we owe it to? Find out, and you'll be surprised. Let's talk about anti-Semitism. Nowadays, if any states raise a protest against us, it is only pro forma or for the sake of our discretion and by our direction. For the anti-Semitism is indispensable to us for the management of our lesser brethren. I will not enter into further explanations, for this matter has formed the subject of repeated discussions among us. Now, I read a book that came out about 25 years ago called The Transfer Agreement. The Transfer Agreement was written by a Jew. And journalistically, he's very good. And in The Transfer Agreement, he brought out this, that the Zionists and the Nazis worked hand in hand in the persecution of Jews in Europe prior to World War II and during the war. And the goal was to create such a pressure on particularly the German Jews that they could be brought down to Israel because they needed skilled labor and they needed people that could develop their country. Now, if everything that I share with you is taken from Jewish sources, if you read in the encyclopedia of the world Zionists, their own writings, they would say, yes, there was a cooperation. Now, you don't read about that. And I'm not going to go too much into detail on this now. But you see, they simply said this in 1897. If we don't put pressure on our own people, they will not do what we want them to do. Sanitizing history. Classicism, which is studying the history of ancient Greece and Rome, as also any form of ancient history in which there are more bad than good examples, we shall replace with a study of the program of the future. We shall erase from the memory of men all facts of previous centuries which are undesirable to us and leave only those which depict all the errors of the government of the Gentiles. I am proud of my Kabbalah series. I have 4 books ready now. And if you're watching as a cyber member, these are 4 little booklets you need to have. I have laid out history of the Kabbalah, how it happened, what's been going on, all the way up to 1907. Do you realize that most of you have not the foggiest idea what really happened? Now, most you are Americans here. Most people are Americans. Let me ask you this question. Did you know that during the Civil War, the second year, the British had placed 11,000 troops up in Canada? The French had invaded Mexico and were poised to, and the British and the French were ready with the South to squeeze the Union. At that point in time in history, the Tsar of Russia intervened and sent his Russian fleet from the Baltic to New York and the Pacific fleet to San Francisco. And for 8 months, the entire Russian fleet were anchored on both sides of the United States. And because of that, the British and the French were nervous and I did the attack. I have that in my book, number 4. I don't know if you knew that or not when you read this story. There are many, many different details. But you see, sanitizing history. I know that the people in Sweden are so dumbed down, you know, they don't know what happened 200 years ago. They don't care. Let's talk now about deceiving the working class. In order that the masses themselves might not guess what they're about, we further distract them with amusements, games, pastimes, passions, people's palaces. Soon we shall begin for the press to propose competition in art, in sports, in all kinds. These interests we find to distract their minds from questions in which we should find ourselves compelled to oppose them. Growing more and more accustomed to reflect any form of opinions of their own, people begin to talk in the same tone as we, because we alone shall be offering them new directions for thought. Of course, through such persons will not be suspected of solidarity with us. Think about sports. Do you realize that the sports industry in the Western world is a $1 trillion industry? I mean, you got horses, you got golf. I mean, there is not anything you don't have a sport in. And most of your people are into sports. You ask them about scores, players, dates. They can simply do-do-do-do-do right off the bat. You ask them a question about the Bible. You ask them a historical question. They say, man, I don't know that stuff. Man, dude, I don't want to understand that. You know, I'm into my sports, my beer, and my women, and my dope. Controlling the media. All our newspapers will be of all possible complexions. I really want you to pay attention there. He simply said this, we're going to have newspapers, and we're going to be in every field. Aristocratic, Republican, revolutionary, or even anarchical. For so long, of course, as the Constitution exists. As long as the Constitution exists, they will have this. Like the Indian idol or god Vishnu, they will have 100 hands, and every one of them will have a finger on any one of the public opinions as required. When the polls quicken these hands, it will lead opinion in the direction of our aims. For the excited patient loses all power of judgment and easily yields to suggestions. Those fools will think that they're repeating the opinion of a newspaper or their own camp, will be repeating our opinion or any opinion that seems desirable for us. In a vain belief that they are following the organ of the party, they will in fact follow the flag which we hand out for them. Look upon radio and television, the media. You will find, when it comes to television, radio, newspapers, movie production, very few Gentile leadership. Very few. Some of the worst babblers, Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones. Notice this, these men never get to the point. They always had a boogerman. They always says, well, we got the Bilderbergers here. We got this there, this there. But they never simply say, here is the problem. Because their handlers are Jewish. Their owners are Jewish. You will find that O'Reilly on Fox News would never say one word about Israel that is negative. Because his boss is Rupert Murdoch, an Australian Jew. They are so conservative, and yet they are not conservative. From pornography, left-wingers, right-wingers, bookstores, and not bookstores, but public houses, they are all owned by the same group of people. I want you to turn now to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and we're going to look in chapter 1, verse 21. And I read this. For the prophecy came not in old time, but the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible was created by men, holy men, that spoke to the power of the Holy Spirit. This document that I quoted just some expert from were simply written down by unholy men, inspired by Lucifer, the devil, that old dragon. He is their inspiration. Let me turn to Revelation 13 now, as we're going to look upon the Bible here now. That's Revelation chapter 13. And you pick it up in verses 1 and 4. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast with his soul was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Look at that verse now. The dragon and the devil gave him his power. How do I know the dragon is the devil? Flip over to chapter 12. And you read here from verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then back to Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon. They worshiped Satan, which gave power to the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? You got to understand that the leadership of this group are Luciferians. They are worshiping the serpent. They want to bring in their Messiah, the serpent. And they are diabolic. Nothing is sacred for them. And the devil is the one that empowers them. If you now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you pick it up in verse number 1 through 9. Have you beseeched your brethren by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, about gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind to be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, we are on a threshold of the Antichrist. The world government has the power today. We're going to pray today against it. That if they pull down Greece into default, that means that hundreds of banks in Europe are going to go belly up because they have loans into Greece. Italy got downgraded this last week a second time. Their economy is on the ropes. If they go down, more banks are going to go down. Spain is on the ropes. Free nations. Now, in Europe, there's all been a discussion. And the Rothschilds, very smart. I want you to listen closely. England is a member of the European Union. But they refuse to join the Eurozone. England still got its own money. Where the Rothschilds sit? They sit in England. The British pound is going to be protected. The euro is going to be abandoned, most likely. It's going to be a tidal wave because American banks are heavily invested into Europe. And we're going to have banks this time. We will not be able to bail them out like we did a couple of years ago. That means that all the investment, savings, will be simply wiped out. The stock market will cease to exist. There will be no stocks. The speculation is over. It will be a day of riots, unemployment. Things will stop. It will be a chaos that you and I have never seen in our lives. And this is exactly what they're hoping for. Because if they can create such a crisis in China, Japan, America, Mexico, Canada, Europe, they would simply say this: we have a solution. There is a solution we have. And we have a man that is anointed. He has power, a genius. If you give him allegiance, the world will go into peace, tranquility, full employment. Listen to what I'm telling you about now. We are maybe weeks, months away from that collapse. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm simply saying this. I wish this day had never come. But this is how close we are. Let's look at some more verses. 2 Thessalonians, go up to verse number 10. We are told that, let me turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 10. And with all deceivableness I have invited him them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there's going to be a deception. A deception is going to be so big, so great, that most people are going to buy into their lie. Let me tell you homeowners something, to include myself. Every mortgage is going to go belly up. The whole mortgage industry is going to go belly up. Most likely, we could be pushed out of our homes because they're going to demand payment. I tell you what, it's going to be an upheaval like you have never seen before in your life. But God will have a remnant. Look at verse number 13. He will have a remnant. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has before from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Weren't he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us, has given everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In Revelation chapter 13, verse number 5, what is in store for you and I today? Well, we're going to be in for the same thing as the early church. In Revelation chapter 13, verse number 5, we read this. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given to him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, here's how I think it's going to go down. If this chaos comes this year, or the next year, it's going to be chaos all over the place. They're going to come up with a plan. And they're going to say the recovery plan will depend upon that you must register with the World Federation. nation be done away with. And we will be faced with, you want your car back? You want your house back? You want your job back? You want this back? They're going to say, to get it back, you have to come in and register and take the mark, so that we know who you are. There'd be no more fraud. Let me tell you about the microchip. It's very interesting. Last week was a family here in, maybe a couple of weeks ago, in Sacramento. They had lost a small dog, just a small little dog. I don't know what kind of brand it was, but it was a small dog. And suddenly they got a call from the state of Florida. And was someone called up there and said, we have your dog. And they said, it's amazing. Well, they had shipped the dog. And some of the dog ended up in Florida. They took it to a veterinarian. He scanned the dog. He found the right owners, the phone number, everything else. And they called him up and said, come and get the dog. And they flew the dog over and they got the dog back. If you have a chip, that cannot be tampered with, because it would have all the information on you, security number, date of birth, history, where you went to school, everything else. It'd be very, very difficult to do that. And how convenient, a little chip under your skin, not bigger than a rice, little rice corn. Or right here where they can scan it more easily. You hear me now? I believe in the crisis that come. And we have lost it all. And we are told we can get it back. For a price. That's when you have to say, you can have it all. I refuse to take that mark. Turn me down to Luke chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Do I wish that God would postpone this? Yes, I do. We're going to pray about that. I don't want it to come. Luke 21, verse number 25. Luke 21, 25. We read this. When we get to 21, we'll do better. And there shall be signs of the sun and the moon and the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking at the things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's going to be a tremendous fear coming on this earth. People are going to be scared. And Jesus said, one of the signs. Then turn to Daniel, chapter 11. The book of Daniel, the 11th chapter. We pick it up in verse number 36. Daniel 11, 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his state shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones, and pleasant things. The man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to be homosexual. And if you notice now, homosexuality is rampant on the earth, militant, powerful. We just lost our military. Because today, now, homosexuals can serve openly in the American military forces. No shame. And a Presbyterian minister was ordained this week, being an open homosexual, to stand and minister to the people. You speak against homosexuality, and they will crucify you. Homosexuality is part of the Antichrist system. It is an abomination. unacceptable. And God will judge those people. And then turn to Revelation chapter 13. Back there again. Revelation 13. I just scratched the surface here today, but I want to sound the alarm. If you want to look in verse number 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand and the foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is what the Bible says. When that day comes, you will not be able to sell or buy anything. Here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for he's the number of a man. His number is 666. Do you know what name that is? That is King Solomon. And the Kabbalah. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 10. His number, 666. What happened if you take the mark of the beast? I want you to see Revelation 14:9. Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Remember now, they're not going to force you to take the mark of the beast. You will not be forced. It will be voluntary. You have to say, yes, I want it. I give allegiance. In Nazi Germany, to join the party, you have to swear allegiance to the Führer. If you were in the Soviet Union, you have to swear allegiance to the Communist Party. In this place, you will have to swear allegiance to this man, to the global government. And then you take the mark. If you do, if you are saved today and you are here, and you take that mark, I will tell you this. You will go straight to hell when you die, and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. There'll be no excuse. You can never come back and say, God, I was so hungry. I've been hungry for 3 weeks, and they offered me some food. I just didn't take it anymore. God's going to say, forget it. To the lake of fire. No mercy. We need to preach that. We need to hammer that home. The time of grace will be up at that time. I want you to see now what the devil said. This is what they said. How they going to end it? Listen closely now. This is for the document now. The recognition of our despot or ruler may also come before the destruction of the Constitution. The moment for this recognition would come when the peoples, utterly wearied by the irregularities and the incompetence. You talk about politicians. They are incompetent. Look at our president. A matter which we shall arrange for other rulers for clamor. In other words, they have given us incompetent people. And this is what they say that we, the people, will say at that day. Away with them. Give us a king over all the earth, who will unite us and annihilate or destroy the causes of disorders, frontiers, nationalities, religions, state debts, who will give us peace and quiet, which we cannot find under our rulers and representatives. This was written 1897. Does that fit the book of Revelation? Yes, it does. Listen to the mobs of the street. What is their cry? They are energized by demonic powers and are demanding change. Trouble is here now. Are we going to wake up? Now turn to John 9:4. The Gospel of John 9:4. I'm going to take very quick look at this verse. That's John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. You have a ministry now. We have a ministry together. When the mark of the beast comes on the scene, we're not going to have any internet left to us. We're not going to have any church left like we have now. This is a time to invest in God's kingdom. This is a time to invest because we are going to lose everything we have down the road. But whatever we invest right now in the kingdom of God, it will be there when we get on the other side. I'm going to give you this tidbit, and you check this out. Let me take you back to 1917. In 1917, when the Bolsheviks took over, they were heavy Kabbalists, Jewish, Freemasonry. They took over the Winter Palace. They prepared it. They had a Duma in there, which was the Russian parliament that was sitting in there in the middle of the night. At 2:10 a.m., they opened the doors and told the people, the representatives, your time is up. And this was done October 26th, the Julian calendar, which would be November 8th for us on the Gregorian calendar. What was significant with 2:10 in the morning, October 26th? That is when the sun was in the center of the sign of the Scorpio. These people are heavy into astrology, heavy into the occult. And what they did was they wanted to take over the Winter Palace exactly 2:10 a.m. on October 26, 1917. I brought it in because we might have something happen this October or this November. These are crucial days right now. These are not days for us to begin to think, you know, well, I got some internal pains in my belly, you know, and I got this and I got that. This is the time to focus on prayer and saying, God, just like Daniel did and others, there is a crisis. Father God, please, please intervene and hold it back. The night is coming quickly when Christian can no longer work. Where do you start? Get the four books and the booklets I've written. Order them if you're a cyber member. They'll be on the internet, on our website. You don't hear today, pick up your copy of number 4. Study it. Learn this so you can begin to talk to people intelligently outside and say, this is the reason why we have this, and that's the reason we have that. Here is Christ. Here is a solution. But if you are uninformed, you'll be ineffective. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. And I wonder, I thank God we got the internet ministry right now. We can do so much more if all of you that are watching us weekly would say, we're going to support with money. We're going to try to do this and that so that we can do a final push. Remember when Noah standing outside the ark the last day, and God said to get in the ark, and he walked in the ark with his 3 sons and their wives, and God closed the door and the rains began, and the people began coming running screaming, we believe Noah, we believe, we believe. Hear me now. When you hear on television, you see it, or you hear it on the radio, that Europe had a meltdown. The euro is gone. The stock market melted. institutions are closing, banks are closing, it would be too late to say, I want to do something for God now. I'm going to take my money out of the bank and do something now. Listen, at that time, kiss your money goodbye. Kiss your investment goodbye. Now is the time we control it. And now is the time we can use some of that for the kingdom of God. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I just ask you right now that you will take my words as spoken here today, Lord. They will burn in the hearts of people. I pray, Father God, we will not have a meltdown that close this year or next year. But Father God, it is close. So Lord, prepare us. Prepare us today, Father God, to say goodbye to all the possessions we have. Help us today to say we might not have this tomorrow, but I will have Jesus. Help us, Father God, to release all greed. Release all desires to have this or that. And Lord, give us a hunger for lost souls. Give us a hunger to go out and evangelize like we've never done before. God, I don't know how to end this message. I'm going to simply say, have it your way, Lord. You spoke it to the people. Deal with them. In Jesus' name. You that are watching us by by our website. If you're not saved, call out to Jesus right now and say, I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I want to be saved right now. Forgive me my sins. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. If you're backslidden, drop to your knees and say, God, forgive me. I want to be part of the end time harvest. Give me strength now to take the mark of the beast. Call us, write us. The altars are open here. The elders are here right now. If you want to be prayed for today for strength to not take the mark of the beast, maybe you need a healing, whatever it is, the altars are open. You come. It's a few moments. You can be prayed for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, "The Mark of the Beast." The book of Revelation tells us that the nations of the world will be conquered by a catastrophic global financial meltdown. Such a result doesn't come about overnight and requires much planning. Pastor John shared insights from a document more than 100 years old that detailed plans of the Antichrist's rise to power. As inconceivable as that may sound, history has shown that someone is indeed following the satanic-inspired game plan, which unholy men have carried out. The mobs on the streets are energized and demanding change. Trouble is here now. When will Christians wake up? The roar of a world financial crisis is getting louder, and we are just around the corner from the birth of the Antichrist regime and the beginning of the tribulation period. Decide today if you are going to live close to Jesus and give of your time, possessions, and finances, because the night is coming quickly when we can no longer work. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1311. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.